Welcome to Hope Talks, where we share inspiring stories of hope in Jesus Christ. Hope Talks is hosted by Pastor Margaret Michael and Grayson Willis. Join us for uplifting stories of triumph, faith, and the enduring power of Christ's love. Also, if you're in the listening area, tune in to 1470 AM or 102.1 FM WBTX to listen to Hope Talks every Sunday at noon.
Welcome to today's broadcast of Hope Talks. I'm Grayson Willis.
I'm Pastor Margaret Michael.
Thanks for tuning in, and today we're joined by Angela Martin. Angela, how are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. And we've had Angela in before to talk about a ministry she's involved in, and today we have her in today to talk about another ministry that she's involved in.
She's full of surprises. I love it. I love always to hear your heart and hear just how God has drawn you to certain ministries. And so really excited to hear that you have another one you want to talk about today.
Yeah,
so
I'm excited about
it. We'll just let you open up and tell us a little bit about the ministry that you're wanting to share with everyone today.
Okay, well, the last time we met, I was I was on my way to the Middle East.
I've been
over three times now. Wow. We work with training women leaders. So on my first trip over there, my church had a mission trip scheduled that I had signed up for. And then I started thinking, oh my goodness, I'm just going to come back from the Middle East. And 2 weeks later, do I really want to do this? And honestly, I started waffling. And I talked to my pastor. I was like, you know, what's going on? He said, oh, here's what I need you to do. And he started giving me assignments. And I thought, well, now I've got to go. And I don't usually feel like that about trips. I think with this one, I just wondered how much of a benefit I would be. This ministry is so exciting. It's Kensington, right? It's a neighborhood in Philadelphia. And this particular trip, I didn't know much about it, but this particular trip was involving a lot of the men in our church going to help with a building project. And I thought, all right, what am I going to do? But there were a couple of us, and then there were some teenagers, and we kind of helped chaperone the teenagers, and we did a lot of cleaning and helped with supplies and all sorts of things. Yeah. But I was so very glad that I went. When we were in the Middle East, we were working with Christian women. It was a leadership training conference, and you know, very much teaching the Bible and interacting with these beautiful women who were so thrilled we were there. And then we went to Kensington, Philadelphia, and it was more third world than what I had just seen. Wow. It's like going into a different country. So Kensington, I want to avoid giving too many facts because I don't want to give incorrect ones. But it's a neighborhood of a few blocks in Philly, and it's considered the drug capital of the United States, and really, really a very rough area. I looked up the population, and it's 20 to 30,000 people, depending on how many blocks you're counting in. But yeah, the drug problem is really bad. They are using something they call Trank, which is literally an animal tranquilizer. They told us on my last trip there, there's one they're calling Rhino Trank because it's so much more powerful than the original Trank. But of course, they're mixing fentanyl with it, heroin in it. The drug itself is bad enough, but we all know about the fentanyl epidemic. Tell me, what can I tell you about this ministry?
So the ministry is, there's a church that has a ministry in that community, right? So maybe start there.
Okay. The church is Calvary Chapel, Kensington. And it's interesting, we did get to go to church there. This trip will be my third. I'm going in just a couple weeks. And we were able to attend church there. And it's not just a church for the street people. I say just, that's not the only attendance. Right. There's people who come in from other parts of the city, just a regular church, but this sort of a regular church. This ministry is called The Rock, and The Rock Ministry is a ministry of Calvary Chapel, Kensington. they've got this big building, and the church auditorium is part of it. There's Sunday school rooms upstairs, and that's where we slept. Yeah. There were a bunch of like baby stuff piled over in the corner so our cots could fit. But so you've got the church and then this ministry. They are reaching young people. There are so many needs in Kensington. You've got people who are homeless. You've got longtime residents. There are families that have been there for decades. So you've got these families who stay inside all the time. The kids don't go out because it's so dangerous. And then you've got also kids who don't get supervision and they're outside all the time. And then there's the homeless everywhere. So you kind of, we were talking before we started that you have to know your mission and know your vision and not get away from it until the Holy Spirit says, you know, move on. Mm-hmm. And their main ministry at this point is children. Now they are branching out. This year they're going to open a women's clinic as well. And I'm very excited about that. And they do offer things for people on the street. They do coffee shops for them and outreaches and food, but their primary goal is to keep the kids safe so that they don't wind up in the same situation. Yeah. And they do it with a boxing gym. Yeah. It is the neatest thing. And we watched them, and those kids are good. They've got real trainers. They've got the equipment, the jump ropes, and everything. And they've had several go pro.
Wow.
Yeah.
So I saw some of the pictures. I was online looking and just doing a little research on it, and I saw it. I'm like, that is really cool.
Yeah, it's a really neat place. They work very hard, and there's signs on the wall that says no cussing. You know, and the coach is the real thing. You know, I was going to say he yells. He doesn't yell at them, but you hear him raising his voice and encouraging. And one time we were there, they had a fight coming up soon, and there was a kid who was really good, and they were thinking he was going to go pro. And but now they bought a building next door that it used to be called the Blood Pit, and it's the oldest, I think, boxing gym, the oldest workout boxing gym in Philly. And they are turning it from the Blood Pit into a place, you know, to show the love of Jesus. And they're going to get to expand from just boxing into kind of a rec center for the kids.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, I had heard about their boxing ministry and how that was pretty big in that area, and how they help get the kids doing something that kind of keeps them off the streets and keeps them out of trouble.
Yeah, yeah. And right down the road, they took us on a walk around several of the blocks. And nice little trivia, it's right down the road from the apartment. Have both of you seen Rocky?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know the famous scene where he's yelling up at the window, Adrian.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I saw that apartment.
Oh. So
that was kind of cool. Adrian. Yeah. I was going to do the yell, but I thought it might not broadcast very well.
What else about the ministry? You said you've been a few times and you're going again. Like, what have you done in your previous trips, or what are you planning to be doing the next time you go there?
Well, the first time we went, like I said, the men were over helping refurbish a building, and a couple of other women and I, we just helped. We said, what can we do? And we cleaned the building, scrubbed toilets, you know, whatever needed. They've got this giant supply closet. Now, businesses are pretty generous with this ministry. You know, it's a good, solid place to donate extra food and things like that. So we helped restack and reorganize. They've got a lot going on. I would leave things out if I tried to list it all. Yeah. But I feel like there was so much behind the scenes even that I'm not aware of. But it's very vibrant ministry. So the first time we just did hands-on stuff. And then the second time I went was with some of the women from our church. My pastor's wife is a doctor, and we've got several really fine nurses as well. And we're doing the same trip this year. We're doing it a little bit longer than our last one, and we called it a medical mission trip. However, they're not licensed to practice there, so we're kind of limited in what they could do. But we brought what we call blessing bags. with hygiene products and things like that. We, one day before we left, we stuffed a bunch of giant Ziploc bags, put up tables outside on the sidewalk, and people would come up. They do a little bit of medical education, you could say, including the types of food they need to eat because the nutrients are depleted from their body from the drugs. Mm-hmm. It just is what it is, yeah. And you've got to work with that. Then everyone got prayed with. Everybody got to talk to a couple people and got prayed with. And my daughter and I were inside of a building right there that the ministry owns. And they call it their coffee shop. It's a couple times a week. They open it up and give out coffee. So we gave hot coffee, cold coffee, water. Somebody donated some sandwiches. So all of these people came in after they'd gone through the little tables. And we asked them, you know, we just were nice to them and gave them something to drink. I'd like to tell you a little bit about the people, though, that are being ministered to. Yeah. I believe what I have heard is that the reason that people come to Kensington is because the drugs are cheap. And apparently the dealers will give them their first round free, and then they're hooked. I doubt that you've ever seen anything like this. It gives them what they call the drops. I think they call it the drops. And people just bend over double with their head and their arms hanging toward the sidewalk, and they walk bent over double. People call it zombie land because this sounds awful. It's almost like walking dead. They are totally oblivious to what's around them. And when we first went the first time and they took us on a tour around the block, it was nice and clean. It was first thing in the morning. The streets were clean. By the time we made it around, probably a half hour or so later, there was stuff everywhere. There's needles all over the sidewalk. I don't know if I would have picked up on what was happening if I didn't already know, but I looked across the street and a guy sitting on the sidewalk pulling up his pant leg, finding a vein in his leg to shoot up. We had our church van parked there next to the building, and my husband, he drove the van for us, and my husband looked and said, can I help you? Because this guy was messing with the mirror, and he was looking for a vein in his neck to shoot up. So it's everywhere. There's needles everywhere. There's people laying everywhere. And like, those are people you really, it's not like you can walk down the street and say hi to them because they're totally out of it. So these were the people coming in to get a bottle of water or a cup of coffee, and they would hang, some of them, you know, they weren't completely out of it because they could walk in the door, but some of them you could tell the high was starting to hit, and they would hold on to the counter to tell us what they needed. There were a couple of people that just broke my heart. One woman came in, and her face was red. And, you know, I work in a preschool, and we would call it, she was just about doing the potty dance. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, I guess this is okay to talk about on the podcast. But she wanted to know if we had a place she could use the bathroom. Now, you have to have restrictions. You know, you can't do everything for everyone. And I knew that they couldn't, and that they couldn't let her use theirs. I mean, you don't know what will, people can go in and shoot up or, you know, whatever. You just have to have boundaries. And they are so very good at loving boundaries. So very, very good at it. And I asked one of the girls, and she came over and she told her they didn't have a spot. And the woman was about to cry. She was young, the woman from the street. And I told some of the women in the ministry later, the women who work there, it's not just women, but the people who work there are 100% volunteers. These are women, a lot of them in their 20s, who raise their support and live right there. They live in Kensington.
Yeah.
But I said, she seemed fresh. And I said, I don't know if that makes sense. And they said, no, that's exactly what we call it. And I thought it was still a big deal to her to need to use a restroom. Mm-hmm. And that day, this is awful about me, but my sister had been visiting our house, and she left after we left for Kensington. And she called me and she said, Angela, I accidentally left your bedroom door shut. Well, that's where my cat's litter box is. And we were only going to be gone about a day, but I was really frustrated at her. And then it was like the Holy Spirit just slapped me on the back of the head and said, you are worried about your cat not being able to get to a litter box. And you had a woman almost in tears in front of you because she didn't have a place to go to the bathroom. Mm-hmm. And
perspective.
Yeah, it really is. And there was another woman too who came in and she'd gotten her coffee or water or whatever. And she went to one of the tables. There were long tables they could sit at. And she went and started pulling stuff out. And she had a mirror and her makeup and started putting her makeup on. And I realized she was getting ready for work. Mm. I told my sister about that later. And she said, oh, well, good. She's going to work. And I was like, it's not that kind of work.
Mm. Yeah.
Mm. And these women and men, to say they looked like they'd had a hard life would be the understatement of the year. The drug causes ulcers, and their skin is just covered in sores. Of course, a lot of them, if they've been there long, are missing a lot of teeth. And I don't know how long people live when they're using that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's a world that it's jarring
to
see that, but it is the reality of many places. But finding that place, sounds like you have found that place that your heart just wants to be there, desires to be there, mm-hmm. and have the opportunity to be the love of Jesus. How long were you there? Which trip was it? The first trip, like that you just knew that you knew that this was a place that you needed to be a part
first
of?
First trip. It wasn't any time at all. I think a big part of it, though, was the ministry itself and the way that they are working with the people there. The fact that they're not just swooping in from the suburbs and being nice for a day and then going back, they're living among the people. I walked with some of the people who work there, and people on the street would come up and talk to them, and they would know them and ask, because you've got kind of a diverse population. It's not just people who are homeless and high all the time. You've got a variety there. Like I said, you've got families who have lived there for generations. But they would know people and treat people like people. We're not invisible to them. Right. And they're invisible to most of us.
Yeah.
You know, we don't want to look at the guy on the ground sleeping under, you know, a newspaper. We don't want to see that. So the way that the ministry approaches it was very moving to me. And the need there, so many needs. So many needs there. And, you know, it's the kind of place you want to ask God to let you see people.
Yeah.
And that can be a scary prayer to let you see people. Yeah. So, yeah, like I said, this time we're going to be, hopefully we're going to be helping with the women's clinic that's not yet finished, but they are planning on opening it this year to meet all sorts of health needs. But hopefully to be a real pro-life influence with these women.
So how long has this, when was this established? When was the Rock?
You know, I don't know, but I think they've been around for a good while.
Yeah.
And some of the people who work there, in fact, it seems like the pastor, but I might be wrong about it being the pastor. It might be one of the leaders in the ministry grew up there.
Okay.
There's several of them who grew up there and became believers and then came back to serve.
Yeah, and it's a calling. Like, it is a real calling. I think I just discovered this afternoon that there's a young lady from this area that lives there.
Yes.
And, you know, it's so interesting when you hear of something like this and then all of a sudden you find out all the connections, but that they do have a connection here in the valley.
Mm-hmm.
So that is really interesting, just how some of those connections go back a long time, too.
Mm-hmm.
So it sounds like it is a ministry of integrity and that they really have gotten the vision of you have to live there. And, you know, they have other groups come in and help, but there are people who live there and have relationships with the people. That is so important.
Yeah.
Presence. Like, it's just such an important part. Yeah.
Yeah. I met a couple there. I think there's actually two young women there from this area. And I was talking to one and I said, how in the world did you get here from Broadway? And then I got this lovely story about she went into overseas missions and really, really wanted to stay and was a little perturbed at God for not letting her stay overseas. And then she wound up in Kensington. There's a young couple there. I think they're about 30, 31. And when I was there last year, she was pregnant. And they had I think they just purchased a little house there in the middle, and they're going to raise their kids there.
Wow.
And they're part of the Rock ministry.
Yes, they are. Yeah. They are part of it. So it's just, like you said, it's a calling. When we push past and do things on our own, there's going to be burnout. And this is not something that someone would want to do without right. a call to do mm-hmm. so. We, on our last trip with the women, there was a woman who went and she said, I can't do it again. It broke her too much. She said, I just can't do that again. And yeah. this is a lovely woman, serves the Lord. As far as I know, she's not fighting against going. She yeah. just, and our pastor's wife, when she interviews people and invites them, she asks, is this going to be a trigger?
Right. Mm-hmm. And there's some people that have such high empathy that mm-hmm. it's really hard because they feel everything mm-hmm. that person, like they literally take on mm-hmm. the feelings and the pain. And that would be incredibly hard to stay focused. I mean, you want to be compassionate and empathetic, mm-hmm. but to the point that it breaks you is yeah. not maybe where God's calling
right.
you specifically.
Right. Yeah. And the people that I've met there, the people in the ministry, they don't exhibit that.
Yeah.
They love and love well, but they love kind of practically, if that yeah, makes yeah. sense.
Yeah, it does. I think it's a learning curve, but you have to have healthy boundaries in place mm-hmm. and understand who God is and who you're not, because we can't be God to people. We can't do right. everything. And we have to realize when we're working with folks that, and you've already said it, you have to keep focused on what is the thing that you're called there to do. Mm-hmm. Because if you don't, you can real quickly become caught up in all kinds of things that the ministry is not even intending for you to
right.
be doing.
Right.
And so I've learned that through recovery ministry. You know, we do recovery ministry, and that is to help people in their recovery, but help them find other places and resources for some of the other things, because right. we just can't be everything
right.
To
right.
everybody, which is hard, but it also helps when we have boundaries. It might be hard for some of those folks, but when they see that somebody has a boundary and they see that that's possible, like it's really teaching them
yeah.
that this is healthy mm-hmm. because some people have never had boundaries. I tell mm-hmm. them in Celebrate Recovery all the time, hey, we're here because we didn't have boundaries. You know what I'm
yes,
saying?
Yes, that's exactly right. And you are talking about working with people who that is the issue.
Yeah.
And the people that they're working on. And there seems to be, and I'm far from an expert on this, but there seems to be something among addicts that continually push other people's boundaries mm-hmm. for their own
yeah.
enablement.
That's how, yeah, unfortunately, that's how they get that next high. Mm. And it's hard. When I was not as healthy as I am now and pre-Jesus, I was manipulative in those. But, you know, praise God yeah. that he has things planned for us we've never thought of or imagined. And that is the same thing is true for every one of those people. And to think about, there's a picture that's been popular around here in the past couple of years, and it's a picture of a really dirty lamb mm-hmm. Running through like a forest, and this image of Jesus pursuing.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to realize that Jesus is pursuing every person.
Yeah.
And he desires to have that relationship. And our role is to be the love of Jesus, right? And being kind isn't giving someone everything that they want always, right?
Right.
But meeting practical needs, back to the people that work there, they're practical.
Yeah.
And they're helping them practically every day. It was beautiful. Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. I had a pastor say one time, you'll never look into the face of someone that God doesn't love.
That's right. That's so true.
And when we really internalize that, you see that here's a person. How did they get there? How
the
does
story.
A person, you know, we hear this. They don't grow up as a little kid saying, this, you know, when I grow up, I want to sit on a street corner and shoot drugs, find a vein in my body somewhere that's not blown out.
Yeah.
Nobody plans to do that.
No.
And to remember that God's not looking at them and seeing the sores or the missing teeth or, you know, there's limbs. They lose limbs. There's people in wheelchairs.
That's where
on
Jesus
the sidewalk.
Hung out, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, Angela, thank you for sharing with us today. How can people be praying for the people that you've shared about? Pray for the Rock Ministry, pray for you and the team that's going over there. Just what are some practical ways that people can be in prayer?
I'm sure that the people who work there would appreciate any prayer. I think I'm sure they get weary. Mm-hmm. And just for strength in the weary days, for a real work of the Holy Spirit in each of them, because that's the only way that you can do it. They are pretty joyful people. But that's kind of what happens when we're doing what we're supposed
to
be doing.
That's right.
So, and yeah, on a real practical level, this clinic that they are working to open, the women's clinic, and then this kind of community center that they're working on. I've seen the building. It's just this, it looks like a giant warehouse. Yeah. So that's a lot of money and a lot of work to get that to where they can use it. So I'm sure that would be pretty big on their list of things to pray over.
Yeah. And what if somebody's listening and they say, I would love to be a part of that? How do they get connected?
You can look up Calvary Chapel Kensington. You can look up The Rock Ministries. I might have written down the website, but if you just Google that, it will pop up. You can look up The Rock Philly, and that should pull it up as well.
Okay, yeah. Very good.
Pretty Thank easy you. To find.
Yeah.
It pops up. And everyone there knows them. And they have, people respect their ministry. Like, people don't mess with them because they have so much respect in the neighborhood.
Wow. Yeah. That's beautiful.
Angela, maybe you've shared it already, but despite all the pain and the sadness and the suffering, the times that you've been there, what has brought you hope?
That's a really good question, because I think that goes to the needs of the people in ministry there. They are able to work with these kids, and you get to see some results when it's kids. You get to see that kid who gets out of the neighborhood. You get to see some people who get out and then come back to work with others. So I think that one, the results are a little more evident. But honestly, when you go, it is a very dark place, and it would be very easy to say, what difference can I make? Because frankly, the adults, I wish I knew some numbers on who gets out of there. And I don't know. I would think it's next to impossible for someone to get out of there. But that is a question to ask when you go, because you think, I'm giving a cup of coffee to someone. They're about to fall over now, and this coffee is not going to keep them from shooting up again.
Yeah. But it's a moment, a touch.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I have learned that in those situations, a lot of people don't know their name. And for them to hear someone say their name and remember it is just tremendous, because they're not known or seen.
Yeah.
Hats off to you and for those that are doing the ministry. You're making me want to go. So we'll have to talk about that.
Yeah, we'll talk.
And you're bringing them hope. You
That's
all
right.
that are coming in there and bringing them hope.
That's right.
I try to at least, even because our contact is very brief, I try to look in their eyes.
Yes.
I try to look in everyone's eyes. Sometimes it's kind of hard because they can't really see you from where they are. But
right.
And my daughter was beautiful with them. She's always, what can I get you, sir? Here you go, sir. And I love that.
Respect.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
she's
something that they haven't probably had a lot of.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Well, Angela, thank you for joining us today. It's been great to have you.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast of Hope Talks. I pray that as Pastor Margaret and I have talked with Angela Martin today about the Rock Ministry in Kensington, Philadelphia, that it truly has been a half hour of hope for your life. May God bless.
Hope Talks is sponsored by Church of the Nazarene in Harrisonburg in partnership with Sunshine Ministries. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure to subscribe, rate, and leave a review on Spotify or Apple Podcast. Your feedback helps us spread hope to even more listeners. Stay tuned for more uplifting stories in the next episode. Until then, keep the faith, share the love, and find joy in the hope that Jesus Christ brings.